is the joy of the Holy Ghost. This joy that I have is the joy of God.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, experts in Hebrew tells us that it's not Zoe, it's Zoe. Zoe. But then, thank God he understands whatever we say, amen. That's why when people are eager to give name in Hebrew, I'd say you better get the right pronunciation before you do it. It's not your language. Amen. The name we call Joshua in Hebrew is Yehoshua. Yehoshua. Hallelujah. But at least we have the English version Joshua, so we are covered. I have Zoe. I actually had somebody said the word eternal life is from the original Greek word zo. I said, too. Anyhow you say it, at least just know what you are talking about. Praise God. Are you ready this morning?
Yes,
70 minutes. Wonderful. Can we reduce it to 40? So that when I ask for addition, if we start with 70 and I ask for addition, we'll end up with 1 hour 30 minutes. Reduce to 40 minutes, amen. Give or take by 50 minutes, I'm done. Hallelujah. Feast of Ingathering, John chapter 7, verse 2. Amen. John chapter 7, verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was at hand. Feast of Tabernacle. And during this feast, in verse 37, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Praise God. Next verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Then in verse 39, very significant. Without verse 39, you cannot understand 37 and 38. Let's read it together. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. Why? For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So if you understand what verse 39 is saying, it's simply saying what Jesus said in verse 37 and 38, he was prophesying into the future. Are you with me? It wasn't possible at that time. He was speaking as a prophet. This will be fulfilled after that Jesus was glorified. Now, what does it mean, Jesus glorified? After his resurrection from the dead. Say an amen. So Jesus is saying, after his resurrection from the dead, it's time for drinking. I'll try it again. After his resurrection from the dead, it's time for drinking. Drinking of what? Drinking of the Holy Ghost. Say amen.
Amen.
After the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it's time for drinking. And what are we drinking? We are drinking of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I actually have 4 messages in one in this. But I think I will just share one, just one of them for today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And subsequent ones as God permits me. Praise God. So after the resurrection, it's time for drinking. Has Jesus ascended? Is Jesus resurrected? So now it's time for what? Drinking. What do we drink? Of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Anybody drinking alcohol has a perversion of what we're supposed to be having. Alcoholism is perversion, and every perversion is from the devil. Are you with me? What we should be drinking is of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is what we should be drinking of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in the first service, I just want to say that so that you are not caught out. It's not your fault that you chose second service. Amen. We saw that in the Old Testament, God through Moses gave the children of Israel three feasts. Three feasts in which every Israelite must appear before the Lord. Three of them. And in the New Testament, we are told by the Spirit of God that everything we read in the Old Testament is a type of what we have in the New. Say amen. So these three feasts are figurative of what we have in the New. The first one is the Feast of Passover, a type of being born again. The second one is the Feast of Harvest, or Feast of Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks, a type of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I guess one of the reasons why we have limited ourselves is that we call ourselves Pentecostals. Pentecost simply means you begin to speak in tongues. But that's not where God wants us to be. Go past Pentecost and go to Feast of Ingathering. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They began to speak in tongues. They did not stop at beginning. They continued to speak. So if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it is the initial evidence of being filled. It is not the only evidence. Many believers have stopped with the initial evidence. But God wants us to go past the initial evidence and go right in and keep drinking. Amen.
Amen.
Baptism with the Holy Ghost is like standing by the door to God's treasure house. But continuous speaking in tongues is entering inside and taking what belongs to you.
Amen.
Thank you for that one. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So it's during this feast of ingathering that Jesus said in verse 37, amen, I try and summarize, in verse 37 please, the last day, remember I said to you, the feast of ingathering is 8 days, 7 days, they would dwell in tents. Are you with me? That's why it's called Feast of Tents or Tabernacle. Then the eighth day, the last day, they will come out of tents. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, this last day that they come out of the tent is the day of drinking. Say with me, the day of drinking.
The day of drinking.
Aha. Say it again.
Day of drinking.
It is said in Israel that you have not seen rejoicing until you appear on the day of the last day of the Feast of Ingathering. That means one of the characteristics of Feast of Ingathering is what? Rejoicing. Great rejoicing. So in the church age, rejoicing is supposed to be part of our lifestyle. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. Is characterized by great rejoicing. Is characterized by great rejoicing. Are you with me? Praise God. Where's the sister that was blowing the trumpet? I thought I saw someone blow. Please, can you come here with your trumpet? Is it possible? Yes. Or maybe just stand behind me upstage with the trumpet. Come up here. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Praise
blow it. Let me hear. Just sound an alarm. Thank you. Now, I want us to see, we are going to demonstrate the Feast of Ingathering. What's your name? Huh? What's your name?
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh me.
Pharaoh.
Abigail. May I be boy? You be girl. Okay, Abigail, please remain here. Amen. All right, I want to illustrate Feast of Ingathering for us now. Are you ready? If you are not ready, say, I'm not ready. Are you ready? All right. Just two or three things I want to say from there, then we are ready to go home. Are you with me? Now, remember, hallelujah. Now, I really want us to understand. Praise God. Are you with me? I'll do my best to keep it simple so that we understand. Amen. Now, the Feast of Ingathering has about 5 or 6 significance. I told you one. One of them is they gather in the harvest. Whatever has been harvested, you bring them home. Praise God. Whatever has been harvested, what happened, you bring them home. Some of us have sown some seeds. You've done some confession. You have prayed over them. The harvest is ripe. But through this feast, you are bringing them home. Amen. Say an amen.
Amen.
Good. Now, I want to explain the second significance of the Feast of Ingathering. Are you with me? In the Feast of Ingathering, the children of Israel celebrate their deliverance from wilderness experiences, their exit from wilderness life. Are you with me? Exit from what? Wilderness life. Amen. So I will use 2 or 3 things to explain them and you will understand. It's very simple. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So 7 days they will dwell in the tents. 7 days everybody will dwell in the tents. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7. Day 8, the last day of the feast, that's the great day, they come out of tents. Now, what is the significance? Let me explain to you. While they were in wilderness, none of them had a house. They dwell in tents. Have you ever seen some of these Fulani herdsmen as they move from place to place? What do they erect? Tents. So, wilderness experience was living in tents. Are you with me? Now, the last day of the feast, the 7th day, the high priest fetches water in a jar. Are you with me? Then the high priest will come out with the water. As soon as he comes out, he pours the water and then he signals the trumpeter. Now, wait, please. Why is he pouring out the water? I will explain gradually if you dare to follow me. In wilderness, you remember they were thirsty, lacking water?
Yes, sir.
Huh? But now he's pouring water. That means our days of lacking water are
over.
So, the moment he pours that water, I don't want to demonstrate that. I don't want to pour water on anyone. The moment he pours that water, trumpet, oil blue. Then everybody jumps out of tents and they start rejoicing. Did you get that?
Yeah.
All right, let's try it again. Some people didn't know that they were supposed to jump up and rejoice. Sit down. So, the priest, Brother Inka was telling his wife, you and I miss it. We are not in the spirit. So now, be in the spirit. Amen. The priest, he fetches water. He's the first to come out. Then he pours the water. Pwah! Then the trumpeter sound. And everybody jumps up and rejoices. Thank you. Sit down. Sit down. You will now understand. I'm sure even you are wondering, what are we rejoicing? Let me explain to you. The first rejoicing is saying, our days of thirst, lacking water, are... The second rejoicing is saying, we were in tents in the wilderness, but now we have come out of tents. That means your wilderness experience is over. Your wilderness experience is over. Your wilderness experience is over. I tell you another one. Your days of dwelling in tents are over. You are no longer a tenant. You are now a landlord. sit down small, please. So, they all knew the significance, New Testament significance. Please, hear it. Number one significance. If you want to end wilderness experience in your life, come and drink.
Amen.
In other words, wilderness experience is a choice. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. You can come out of those things by coming to drink. If you want to end every wilderness experience, what should you do? Come and drink. If you are tired of being a tenant, you want to be a landlord, come and drink.
Amen.
Amen.
You are tired of serpents and scorpion biting, you want to live in good health, come and drink.
Amen.
So Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. Are you with me? Come on. Are you with me? Basic biological science or integrated science tells us that the greatest stimulant man faces is thirst, not hunger. Do you understand what I'm saying? Human being, as a human adult, you can stay without food for 12 months and not lose anything. But without water, 3 days maximum. The fourth day is trouble. So I tell people, if you want to do marathon fast, be drinking water. If you don't drink, you will see the Lord before the time. You will drink at his feet. That is a terrible drinking. I'm sufficient drinking here as VOC are singing. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And so, because thirst, you remember after Jesus fasted for 40 days, the Bible said after the 40th day, he was what? Thirsty. No, is that what the Bible said? After this, he was what? A hungered. Not he was thirsty because he was drinking. That's why when the devil came, he did not say, call water out of the stone. He said, turn stone to bread. He had been drinking. The problem was with what? Hunger. So you want to fast like Jesus? I beg, drink. Oh. Drink water.
Amen.
They don't say amen. Oh.
Yeah.
Right here in Kaduna 2 years ago, a pastor died of fasting. He decided that he will fast till he gets the greatest power any man of God has in Nigeria. Young man in his 20s. And he was already used of God, healing and miracles. But he wanted to be the greatest. Number one, the motive is wrong. Pride. Number two, you don't fast for power, you fast for fellowship. Number three, the method is wrong. You don't fast absolutely. Take a little wine for the sake of your stomach. As you fast, stay healthy. Drink water. If you are getting dizzy, eat a little. No, I mean what I'm telling you. One time I decided that for 7 days, I will just take water. I won't even take kunu. I won't take anything. Just water. Praise God. Then on the fourth day, I took the water. I have fasted. I was about to go minister. Amen. I wore my suit. I wore my shoe. As I stood by the mirror, I saw black. Mirror. I saw black. I took a little juice. Then I was seeing myself quadruplet, four. So I asked for food, amen? I asked for food, a little food. I saw clearly. I went and ministered. I will ask a question. Your answer is your opinion. Did I break my fast? Okay. That's why I say whatever you answer is your opinion. I'm not going there to answer you, amen? All right, so the greatest stimulant that man faces is what? Thirst. So when Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. I want to paraphrase it. He's saying, if you have any desperate situation, come and drink.
Yes, sir.
If you got it, say amen.
Yes.
So I'll be asking question. You will give me answer. Are you with me? I need healing for my body.
Come on, drink.
Come on, drink.
I need house rent.
Come on, drink.
I need school fees.
Come on, drink.
I need scholarship.
Come on,
I need a good wife.
Come on,
I need a good husband.
Come on,
I need miracles.
Come on,
I want to testify this week. I want to end worrying in my life. Is drinking solution to everything?
Yes.
According to Jesus, God's answer to every problem is what? Come and
drink.
Give the Lord a shout. You got it, amen. So first, they step out of the tent. Wilderness experience is over. Secondly, they drink. They are saying, all the struggling experience of the wilderness is over. Answer for every problem is over. Say an amen.
Amen.
Now, let me explain to you why they were drinking. Are you ready? They drank in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. If you are like me, you are called and anointed to teach, and you do your homework, you will never lack what to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Never.
So you just discipline yourself to keep to time. When I hear people who are called of God saying, I don't know what to teach, I know they are not faithful in their duty posts. The Bible says, if any man minister, he should wait on his ministry. As we are talking now, if you are willing to stay till 6, amen, after every 15 minutes, give you 10 minutes break, I will still continue this teaching. I won't even change any topic to. That's why Pastor Sam wanted to carry my Bible and notes. I say, for what? The one in my heart, I've not finished preaching. What are you carrying notes for? Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, you will tell me, what were they drinking of? And okay, from verse 1, let's read in context. From verse 1, please. 1 to go. Moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the water and the sea, and we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, a type of being born again, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, a type of revelation as I'm teaching now. Are you with me? And did all drink the same spiritual drink. Read the next thing slowly. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was
Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you getting that? Are you getting the message? So, in the Feast of Ingathering, when Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The first thing he was declaring to the Jews is that I am the Christ.
Yes, sir.
Because they knew that rock they drank from is type of the Messiah.
Amen.
Are you with me? So after that chapter 7, if you read in chapter 8, Jesus continues speaking. They try to seize him to kill him.
Yes, sir.
How can you say I'm the Christ? So when he said, come to me and drink, he was declaring, I am the Christ. Say he's the Christ.
The
way I'm looking at your face, I'm wondering, should I give you the rema? Say he is the Christ.
He is the Christ.
Now, so one of the experiences they had in the wilderness is that they suffered thirst, lack of water. You remember that wilderness experience? Twice they lacked water. They cried to Moses. Moses cried to God. The first time God told Moses to do what? Smite the rock. And water came. The second time he said what? Thank you. Let's read it for ourselves. Exodus chapter 17 from verse 1. Exodus 17 from verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel. Can I have the bulala? Praise the Lord. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. No wonder they were sinning. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. So you now understand why they were celebrating drinking. Wilderness, they lack water. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's move on. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto thee, then why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Next, and the people tested there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord. You know, if I digress, it will help someone. When children face problem, they murmured. But when Moses the mature faced problem, he cried to God. That means matured people handle problems by praying. Baby Christians handle problems by murmuring and complaining. Ask your neighbor, are you a babe or you are matured? Not a babe like to your husband. Who? So if every time you face challenge, you are murmuring, you're a child, children of Israel. But Moses, the matured, what did he do? He prayed. Moses prayed. Hallelujah. You know what I just saw now? Amen. I saw an angel of God coming to confirm what I'm teaching. That thing about Papa Akanya, don't they rub on me? So in this month, you will truly have ingathering. As you apply what I'm teaching, I'm telling you, the angel is right here to enforce it. You will see yourself gathering in with ease.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please sit down. Sit down. Let me try and finish the message. Amen. Pastor Tim, can we use you as Christ, the rock? Can I continue? Let's ask your wife. Who? All right, so let's read on. Actually, Pastor Tim is thinking I won't really flog him. I will practice this thing very well. I've been looking for opportunity to flog him. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do to these people? They're almost ready to stone me. What did the people... Now, read with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go, and do what? And behold, I will stand before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt what? Smite the rock, and there shall come out of it water, that the people may drink. So Moses did so in the sight of the people. Who was the rock? Say it aloud. So when Moses went and smote the rock, I want you to see. Amen. He went. Pow! Pow! And water started coming out. Who was the rock? The message there is, when Christ is smitten, our solution has come. So the beginning of our solution is in the crucifixion of Christ. The beginning of our solution is the crucifixion of Christ. That's why the first feast is the feast of Passover. Say amen.
Amen.
But you know the interesting thing about problems? They don't come once. How many of us know problems always come? You deal with them in January, they show up in February. Deal with them in February, another one will show up. Am I talking here?
Yes, sir.
At one time, your problem is, if I can just get a car. Now you have a car. You are thinking of fuel. or spare tire. You want to change the paints. Problems always come. So they drank, but they became thirsty again. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Now, verse 17. 17? Or is it 7 now? Verse 7 first. Let me see. If it's not 7, then it's 17. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Aha! The people were thirsty again. Hello? Please, this way I need you most now. Are you with me?
Yes.
Take the rod. Now Moses have experience. Dun, 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 dun. Say, take the rod. Now read with me. Assemble together thou and Aaron and thy brother. And what? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water. Notice, the second time, God did not say smite. He said, speak to the rock, and the rock shall bring forth water. Hallelujah. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Look at what Moses did. Verse 21. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. Next. And Moses gathered Aaron and the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, ye rebels. God did not say call them rebels. Must we fetch water for you out of this rock? God did not send him to do that. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and he smote the rock twice. Water still came out, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Let's read the next thing that happened. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land. So God said that Moses will not enter the promised land. Why? Instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. You got the message, isn't it? The first time God said, smite the rock. That presents what? Answer me. The crucifixion of Christ. The second time God said, don't smite the rock. After crucifixion, what should you do? Speak. Sorry, you can sit down, Abigail. Thank you. I may call you back. Speak to the rock.
Amen.
Are you with me? But Moses went and smote again. That means crucifying Christ twice. If you're in the house, say amen.
Amen.
I'm even wondering, should I tell you what I need to say now or just carry my revelation? Should I try it? Okay. Pastors are more interested in you than them. If they don't understand, you should understand. Does God forgive sin?
Yes.
If you make mistake, will God forgive?
Yes.
Is it not Moses? God said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy.
Yes.
How come this small mistake, God will say to Moses, you will not enter the promised land? You know they forgive? So why would God say, you will not enter? Help me tell somebody, it's not about Moses. Hey, 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 hey. Let me give you two revelations from this. If you pay attention, you will get it. The first revelation God is saying is that if anyone crucify Christ twice, he will never enter into God's promise. You remember the unpardonable sin?
Yeah.
Crucifying Christ for the second time. So Moses was used as a symbol to explain something. That if you dare crucify Christ the second time, you will never enter into God's promise and you will not enter heaven. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
That's why with all your sin, don't commit the unpardonable one. Who? Sin of apostasy, crucifying Christ the second time. If you try that one, you have crossed. If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
But see the most interesting one. Two more revelation on this. The second light you should get here is that Moses represents the law. We have left some people somewhere. Pastor Badiki, are you with us? All right, John chapter 1, verse 16. John chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, say with me. Say with me, please, if you don't mind. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. Read with me slowly. For the law was given by who? Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How many of us remember the truth is a person? Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and life. Grace is also a person. That's who? Jesus. The law is also a person. That is who? Moses. So, many times in the New Testament, wherever you see the word, the law mentioned is referring to Moses. Or Moses mentioned is referring to the law. Anybody with me, just wave. So, when God said, Moses shall not enter the promised land, he's saying, by keeping of the law, you can never enter any of God's promise.
Amen.
It's all by grace, not by law.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. That is Moses there. Will not enter the promise. So there's no promise of God. You enter by law. We enter how? By faith in Christ. Whatever God promised you is all by faith. Say an amen.
Amen.
Come on now. Help me. Say an amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? God may never come at your own timing, but he's never late.
Yes,
never late. God may never come at your timing, but he's never late. So when you are believing God for something, don't time him. God does not operate based on time. He lives in eternity. Don't time him. What you don't see on Sunday, you will see on Monday. What you don't see on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or the next week, or next month, or next year. As long as you are alive, there is hope. How many of us remember that there are some things you strongly desired 5 years ago, you didn't have them, but now 5 years after you have them? Let me see your hand. You know the message there? God knows when you best need those things. In this same area, we bought different landed property in the name of church land. We are not permitted to build. We tried all we could, church land. In fact, some of them, they swindled us. Both the land and the money disappeared. But at the right time, I wasn't even thinking of land, just enjoying church. Amen. A colleague of mine, a Muslim, said, Pastor, don't you want land for church? I say, I want. He said, what about Grela? I said, what's Grela? He said, but Pastor, you're in this town, Pastor, you don't know Grela? Grela, they built church there. He meant Graceland. So it's a Muslim that showed me this list. Far junior colleague to me. When he showed me, I said, so what do I do for you? He said, I just want money for Kunu and Okada to go back. I said, so 500 naira would do? He said, yes. I gave him 5,000 naira. Amen. Yeah, see that my expectation. I said that to tell you. What you've waited for is on the way, coming very fast. And this season of ingathering, they are coming very fast to you. We don't enter the promise of God by law. So he said Moses will not enter. But I want you to see the third significance, which is the last one. And that is where I stop. And that is the message I'm bringing home. Are you with me? First, when they needed water, God said, strike the rock. Pow! Pow! Water came out. Next time, God said, speak. But Moses smote the rock, implying crucifying Christ twice. But after the crucifixion, we should not smite Christ. We should speak to Christ. So the way to enter into the promise is by speaking to Christ. Say with me, speaking to the rock. Speaking to Christ, which is speaking to the rock. That is how to enter God's promise. Say amen now. So, how do we speak to the rock? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Oh Lord, I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Thank you. How do we speak to Christ, the rock? Please, read with me slowly. For he that speaketh in unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto who? Do you realize that Christ is God? So when you speak in tongues, you are speaking to God, you are speaking to Christ, you are speaking to the rock. Say amen. So the way to enter into the promises of God is by speaking to the rock, speaking in tongues.
Glory.
The way to enter into the promises of God is by speaking in tongues, addressing the rock. If you are with me, say amen. Yeah. Who is with me in the house? Let me hear another amen.
Yeah.
So, if you have prophecies that you want to enter into their fulfillment, what should you do? Speak to the rock. How do you speak to the rock? Speak in tongues. You have promises in God's word. You want to enter into them. What do you do? Speak to the rock. How? Speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to notice, it's the same rock Moses smote that God said, go back to the rock and speak to it. The same lamb that was crucified, you behold the lamb crucified and speak in tongues.
Hallelujah.
Oh dear God, where are they? Where are these people? Are you following me?
Yes.
That means the effective way to speak in tongues is by focusing on the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
See the lamb slain and give thanks in tongue. Everything he died for us, thank him for it. You are entering the promises. Somebody say hallelujah. So I give you an example. He was made sin that I may be made righteous. I see him becoming sin and I thank him for my righteousness as a result. By his stripes I am healed. I thank him for the wounds that brought healing for me. By so doing, I'm entering the promise. When we thank God for any finished works in tongues, we enter the promises of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
The first smiting crucifixion is the legal aspect of our redemption. The second one, speaking to the rock, speaking in tongues, is vital aspect of our redemption. I tried that. I know many of you didn't get that. The first smiting of the rock, the crucifixion, legal aspect of our redemption. But speaking to the rock, speaking in tongues, vital aspect of our redemption. And remember, our responsibility is the vital. So what will take you into the promises of God? Speaking to the rock, speaking in tongues. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me hear another one say amen.
Amen.
Well, before I sit down, I want to leave a message for pastors. I'm almost too sure if you are not a pastor, you won't even get what I'm saying. But if you're a pastor, you will get it. Okay? So, first, God said to Moses, smite the rock. He smote the rock in obedience. Water came out. Second, God said, speak to the rock. In disobedience, he smote the rock, but water still came out. That means results are not proof of obedience. If you judge your ministry strictly by results, you will miss God. Obedience should justify your results. But don't use results as proof of obedience. You know, I've heard some ministers say that ministry is all about results. It's a lie. It's a capital lie. No lie is bigger than that one. Ministry is about doing what God says to do. It's wonderful if you study lessons from Moses about ministry. In obedience, he got results. In disobedience, he got results. That means there are certain results you will get that will keep you from fulfilling your destiny. It's not about results. It's about obedience. Moses casted down his rod. He turned into serpent. Magicians, unbelievers, cast down rod. He turned into serpent. So result is not a proof of discipleship. They were rebels, but they had results. Are you with me? Okay, let me bring it home so that everybody will get it. Don't judge your ministry by how many likes you have on Facebook. By how many people are cheering you up. The 10, top 10 ministers of the gospel in Nigeria. People may put you on that list, but before God, you are not among the top 1,000. The most important thing is, am I doing what God said to do? The Lord bless you. Thank you, sir.